بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك والله open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. Ya Allah, don't leave us to our own selves for the blink of an eye, and illuminate our hearts with your words, the Quran, with the correct understanding of it, and even more importantly, the obedience to your commands and acting on the Quran. Ameen. You are busy in the day, in different occupations, halal occupations, all of the things that you need to do. Therefore, at night, get up and do this. Dedicate yourself. And then what should you do at night? وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا.
So remember with praise the name of your Lord. Thus shall you devote yourself with sincere devotion to Him alone.
وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Glorify, remember, do dhikr of ism Rabbi, of your Lord. Now, this doesn't mean, yes, reciting the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but reflecting on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Rahman mean? What is this attribute of Allah? What does Muntaqim mean? The Jalal, the names of Jalal, the might of Allah, the names of Jamal, the beauty, the kindness, the generosity. What is Al-Afu? You know, what is Al-Mateen? You know, all of those. Who is Al-Khaliq? You know? So, reciting the names, reflecting on the names and attributes of Allah, وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. What does that mean? That we need to project everything that you see in your life and what you see around you to one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you're going for a walk in this season of fall and you see beautiful colors. It's, oh, what a beautiful tree. Some attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should come to your mind. For example, you see this beautiful scene from one end to the other. What attribute of Allah comes to your mind if you see that one?
Khaliq.
Khaliq is creator, okay. That He created all of this. If you are an artist, you would say, what a great artist, right? Well, there is a name of Allah, which is called Al-Musawwir, who makes the surah. Say, wow, Al-Musawwir, what a great artist, nobody can replicate. So in everything you feel that. Last weekend or 10 days ago, whenever, if you felt the wind and the storm, and we felt it, and just yesterday on Sunday there was a tornado in Dallas. The brother of one of my patients showed me pictures of his brick house. Only the bricks are left, everything is gone. Her brother, a wife, and a three-year-old child were there on the floor with things. Everything is gone. She showed me pictures of everything. Now when you experience that, what do you see? Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Al-Muntaqim. This is the Jalal of Allah. Look at the power. Okay. If you see a mother goose protecting the little babies against somebody, a fox that's trying to grab them, you say, look at the Rahmah of Rahman. So everything you see around should make you reflect on the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabattal means to sever, to cut off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, cut off and discard all thoughts. When you stand at this time for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reciting the Quran, تبتل إليه تبتيلا. Cut off, sever off all ties with everybody. Don't have any thoughts of anything. Guard your thoughts. Stand at the gates of your qalb with the sword of tawheed. Nothing is allowed to enter at this time. Okay? There should be no thoughts, no feelings other than Him. Now, is that easy? No. But we have to train ourselves, we have to aspire for that, and devote solely and wholeheartedly to your Lord in salah, in dua. In dua, you are one-on-one asking Allah. In salah, you are one-on-one. You know, there's a conversation between. There should be no third in between, because that becomes like shirk, it becomes distraction. There's a hadith of Qudsi that a person stands in prayer and he says, Allahu Akbar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his noble wajh, his countenance towards him. Don't think of it as a face. And then he sees that his servant who called on him, his thoughts are elsewhere. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him again. Then he comes and then again he gets distracted. That happens to most of us. Then he comes, he's in and out of focus with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith al-Qudsi, he says, إِلَىٰ أَيْنِ عَبْدِي. Where to, my servant? Means you are in front of me, but you are looking here and there with your heart. إِلَىٰ أَيْنِ. To where? To who? And then finally he says, إِلَىٰ خَيْرِ مِنِّي. You are turning to something or someone better than me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away. So I don't need his attention, this salah. So, tabtil or tabattal means to devote exclusively to the point of cutting off in your heart ties to everything else. Okay. Now, coming to what is the difference between tabtil of this type and rahbaniyah. Rahbaniyah is what the monasticism of Christians and Jews who were in monasteries, who left all of the dunya and dedicated, became monks and things only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that with our sharia is not permitted. At least it is makruh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ummah says, you are going to live in the world. You're going to have all the relationships of the world. You can't cut off. It's strongly recommended for you to marry, to have family, and yet your heart should be in tabtil. Connected only to Allah, yet fulfilling all of these. Which is harder? To leave everything and be on a mountaintop? Or this? Living in the middle of everything and yet saying, my heart's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires us to be detached in that way. Now, this does not mean, don't take it wrongly, that, oh, I don't care for my father or my mother or my child or my wife or my friends. I do care for them, but it is contingent on my love for Allah. My Allah loves me to honor, respect, and treat kindly my parents. Therefore, I love and treat kindly because Allah loves that action. Similarly with my spouse, similarly with my children. So that is how it is, that I am present, yet my heart is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always keeping that focus. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ. When you remember Allah, cut off all of those. And we should always be in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cut off those distractions. Then he says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ. He is the Lord of the East and the West. What does that mean? No matter what point on earth you are, there will be an East and a West. That means of every point on the earth and in the universe, He is the Lord. If you accept that, and He is, then who would you turn to? There's no one else to turn to. He is the Lord of everywhere. And then, therefore, he's telling you, he is in control of everything. He is, that's his rububiyah. This is called tawheed al-rububiyah. That Allah is the Rabb, the Lord, the creator, the sustainer, the provider, everything that exists in the universe and beyond. One, he is the Rabb. Whether you accept him or not, whether you deny, he is still the Rabb. Right? A person, an atheist, denies him. But Allah still is Rabb because Allah created him. Allah is providing for him. Allah is going to give him life. He is going to give him death. He is going to give him his sickness. He is going to give him whatever. He is still his Rabb, except he is denying him. So what should your response be? So the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists whether we accept it or not. He said, Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi, La ilaha illahu. Therefore, no one is worthy of uluhiyat or ubudiyah other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only ma'bud. So the response to his being the Rabb of everything should be, I only worship him. That is called Tawheed al-Uluhiyah or Tawheed al-Ubudiyah. They are intertwined. Because Allah is the Rabb of the whole universe, he is the only one I worship. He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. He is the only one who is a true ilah. فَاتَّقِدْهُ So if you believe in that, you reflect upon all of this, then فَاتَّقِدْهُ Take, therefore, fa is sabab, means because you know he is the Lord, no one else can help or harm. You only worship him, فَاتَّقِدْهُ Therefore, take him as your wakil. Then wakil means what?
Guardian.
Guardian. Wakil we use as, in Arabic and Urdu, as your attorney. What do you do to be your attorney? You hand over your responsibility for your welfare to someone else. Why? Because you know that he can represent you better than you can represent yourself. Right? He will look out for your rights, and he knows the rules and what is harmful, what is benefit, what is the right thing to say, not wrong, better than you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you know him to be the Rabb and you worship him only, therefore take him as your wakil, guardian, your protector, your agent, your caretaker, your trustee, your representative, because he will represent you and your interests better than you can represent yourself. He knows better and you don't know. He knows the consequences of things, present, past and future, but you don't know. So, when you take somebody as your wakil, you hand over your affairs to him. Say, Ya Allah, this is my case. I put it in front of you. Okay? So, take him, hand over your affairs to him, and then feel rest. No anxiety. Allah is my Rabb, I know that. And Allah is my ilah, because I show it to him by my worship of him. So devote yourself to the only truth, which is Al-Haqq in the universe. And place your trust in his guardianship, the only power in the universe. The Lord of the East and the West and the controller of the entire universe. The Prophet ﷺ, when he used to get up at night for this daily salah, Qiyamul Layl, since we are talking about, the first dua that he used to do every night. Anybody know this dua? Allahumma lakal hamd. Okay, first he used to start. O Allah, to you is all praise and hamd and thanks. Anta nurus samawati wal ard wa man fihinna wa lakal hamd. You are the light of the heavens and earth and everything that's in between, and for you is hamd. Anta qayyimus samawati wal ard. You are the one who sustains the whole universe, heavens and the earth, and everything in between. Wallaka alhamd. Laka mulkus samawati wal ard wa man fihinna wa laka alhamd. To you belongs the kingdom of the whole universe and everything in it. Anta malikus samawati wal ard wa man fihinna wa laka alhamd. And you are the king of everything. Then he said, reminder to himself and to us, أَنْتَ الْحَقِّ You are the truth. وَقَوْلُكَ الْحَقِّ Your words, what you have said, are the truth. Or كِتَابُكَ الْحَقِّ أَنْتَ الْحَقِّ وَقَوْلُكَ الْحَقِّ وَلِقَاءُكَ الْحَقِّ And a meeting with you is true. It is coming. It's a reminder. I am preparing for it. Jannatu haq wa naru haq. You know what that means. That hereafter is coming. Wa nabiyuna haq. And all the nabis that have come are true. Wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haq. And ultimately, the Sayyidul Mursaleen, he is the truthful of most truthful. Okay? He used to remind. Okay? So remind ourselves of all of these facts, because that changes the equation. Because throughout the day we are influenced by other things that we are seeing. This is happening, that's happening. This power did this. This one has nuclear bomb. This has this scientific advance. This is the most powerful man in the world. This is this, and you know, this is a superpower. There is no superpower. It's like literally spider webs. Baitul Ankabut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all the plots and plans are Baitul Ankabut. Little spider web. When do spiders come? When the master is not in the house. And what does it take to get rid of them? One sweep of the broom. One sweep comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the pharaohs disappear. That's all it takes. So see those things, people. Oh, it's so much power. What powerful? Baitul Ankabut, spider web. Identify each one of those as a spider web. That's all it is. Anta al-haq. Waduka al-haq. Your promise is true. So, just remember that. And the dua goes on. It's a beautiful dua that you should memorize. Because then it goes on in response to that. Watch. Yet I believe in you. I submit to you. I turn to you for all my affairs. And I argue with what you, you know, so. All of that, you should do that. Now, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ حَجْرًا جَمِيلًا.
Moreover, be patient with all the abuse that they who disbelieve shall speak. Thus, part from them with a fair pardon.
Again, after all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like in the summaries, have patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Wasbir ala ma yaqulun. Specifically, he's saying, when you do all of this with this responsibility, there's going to be a lot of challenges. Endure with patience and contentment with Allah's decree. Whatever comes in this mission, abuse, rejection, ridicule, false accusations, persecution, suffering, remain steadfast, remain patient in your effort and on your course, because you represent Rabbul Alameen. Okay? The Lord of the universe, who is watching and who is aware of everything that's going on, and he's also in control. In this case, specifically says, Waspir, because the sabr in all of those, Alama yakulun, on what they say. Now, what are they saying? What did they say? First, the worst thing they can say is things about Allah. He has taken sons. Uzair ibn Allah, Isa Masih ibn Allah. They say Allah has taken a son. This is huge. Allah has daughters, like the Quraysh used to say, that angels are females and they are the daughters of Allah. Allah has partners. That means you have taken his rububiyah and given those powers. Well, wealth belongs to so-and-so, and power, war belongs to so-and-so, and water belongs to so-and-so. You've taken his attributes and given it to else. That's shirk. So some of the horrible things they say about Allah, that Allah is, he is maghlu, he is stingy. Allah says in the Quran that some of the people of the book say Allah is stingy. Or that Allah is poor because he's saying, give me qardan hasana, he's asking for a loan. These are the kinds of things they have said about Allah. And of course, outright denial of that Allah exists even. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I'm a sabur. I'm having patience with them. I'm giving them. You be patient. Allah ma yaqul, what they say about the Quran, what they said in the last surah. And this is just magic. This is, you know, this is poetry, this is sorcery, this is from, he's learned from somebody. What they say about you, Ya Rasulullah? They call you a kadhab, they call you a liar, they call you a shair, they call you a poet, they call you a kahin, a sorcerer, they call you a sahir. all of the things that they have said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Knowing all of that, and what they say about the hereafter, they deny that. Everything that they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be patient. No, and how to show that patience? وَحْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Do hijrah, leave them from there. How? Don't huff and puff and move away. Hajran jamila, with dignity, you part from them. You leave them and you abandon, migrate from them. But in spite of all of these bad things they are saying and doing, you show good akhlaq to them. You don't curse back. You don't fight. You don't argue. Why? Because it leaves the door open for future communication, that you may be able to go back to them at some point and maybe they will listen. Okay? Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to leave an argument or leave people like that who reject you with noble dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that good and evil are not equal. Elsewhere in the Quran, He says, repel evil with good. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you meet ignorant people, because they're mostly out of ignorance, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. He says that when the jahil, the ignorant, address you and they want to argue with you, you just leave, say, قَالُوا سَلَامًا. He doesn't say argue back or curse them. Now say, may Allah do this. He says, say, salam and leave. Look at the instructions that were given to Musa alayhi salam when Allah sent him to Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh is the greatest example of evil on this earth, of rejection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's sending two of His prophets, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam. So He says, Faqula, both of you go and say, Lahu qawlan layyina. Talk to him with the gentle words. Why? Allah already knows, but He says, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Maybe he will reflect. Maybe he will take heed and will fear. Talk to him. So this is now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to hajran jamila and to talk in this way to people who reject, how should we be talking to Muslims? How should we be talking to our spouses, our children, when we get into arguments? If to the enemies of Allah you are told to ask like this, this is akhlaq. This is akhlaq. Which may Allah help me to remember this in those tough moments when you get upset, either for a personal level, which is even worse, but even for the sake of Allah you are angry, that you act with dignity. And you don't lower yourself to, you know, they're cursing, so I'll curse back. I'll do worse. Because then there's no difference. Hajran jamila, hijra that is beautiful. Leave them in a beautiful way. Just remember this. وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِ النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا.
And leave to me the disbelievers, those of prosperous ease, and bear with them a short while. Indeed, awaiting them with us are shackles and a blazing fire, and food that chokes and a most painful torment.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the same word. This is a warning. He said, for those people, what should you do? وَذَرْنِي. Leave them to me. وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ. The people who deny. Just like he said about Walid ibn al-Mughira and Abu Jahl. Leave them to me. This is a warning. Leave them to me. أُولِن نَعْمَةِ. أُولِن نَعْمَةِ are the people who enjoy. نَعْمَة, نَعْمَة with the kasra means blessing. نَعْمَةِ means the one who enjoys that blessing. People who are enjoying those blessings of Allah, whether it's health, wealth, families, whatever, they're enjoying, they are having a great party. What should be their response? They should be one of shukr, but they're enjoying and yet they are denying Allah. Allah says, leave those people to me for how long? وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Leave them, give them some respite for a time. Qalila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Qalila. General, what this means is, leave this, because when is the final reckoning coming? On the day of judgment. Then you say, well, that's so far away. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's Qalila. So time is relative, you know, relativity of time. Because in the hereafter, as we are told in the Quran, he says, one day is like alfasana, 1,000 years. And elsewhere he says, khamsina alfasana, like 50,000 years. It's all relative. Even in this universe, there are planets where a year over there is like 10 years of what is on earth. So it's all relativity of time. So when Allah says qaleel, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my coming and the qiyamah are like this, so close. Okay, it's a relativity of time. When he says, leave them for a little while, because for Allah, there is this small. And the proof of that is on the day of judgment, when we are asked, when the disbelievers are asked, even when Nuh alayhi salam is asked, kam labith, how long did you stay on the earth? Yawman or ba'da yawm? It would seem like a day or part of a day. It's all relativity of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave them to me for a little while. This does not mean they will not face some consequences of their action on this earth. But the real punishment, the real response to what they have done here will be on the day of judgment. Why? إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا. Because with us are these shackles, you know, what we call in Urdu, beediyan, you know, the chains that they put on the ankles of prisoners. Why? Because on this earth, they were completely free. They wanted to do whatever. Okay? So that's what they did. Free here will be chained there. Allah will make them His prisoners. May Allah protect us from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ankalam wa jahima. Jahim is another name for Jahannam. That this is all. Even in Jahannam, why do you need chains? This is like an overkill. Yes. Maybe there'll be heated chains, so they will give you, enhance the experience of Jahannam. May Allah protect all of us. وَطَعَامٍ ذَا غُصَّةٍ. And there is food in Jahannam. طَعَام. What kind of food? ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابٍ أَلِيمًا. One that chokes, that does not go down the throat. Can you imagine when we sometimes, little water goes, something that's very palatable, or little food that we are enjoying goes, yeah, and you're choking. Now imagine every morsel, and every morsel over there is not like this. It's like a thorny grenade. It's like pus, and it's terrible things. Even that won't go down the throat. It will choke the person. Ghussa, ghussa, ghussa. It doesn't go beyond that. It'll be stuck there. وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that adab is severe, imagine what it would be. The adab of Al-Jabbar. The adab of Al-Muntaqim. He is going to take revenge for their actions. Okay. And we're going to finish after the next couple of ayahs and leave the last one for next time. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِيلًا.
On a day hereafter, when the earth and the mountains shudder, and the mountains become like a running sand.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, fast forward in time, an event, like a past tense, means it's going to happen. Yawma, a day, tarjuful ard, the earth will be shaken or convulsed. Wal jibal, the mountains will be shaken. Wakanatil jibal, and the mountains, those solid things, will become like sand. What kind? Kathibam mahila, that shifts, you know, like you see when the wind comes, the sand dunes change shape. All the mountains, Allah will release energy and frequencies that will whoosh, everything. The earth will shake with those things, frequencies, and those energies, and everything will be leveled, and it will shake till all becomes one flat ground. That's the kind of day that's coming. That the mountains, strong and massive as they are, will collapse into sand dunes. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He structured it is in past tense, as if it has already happened, to show you the certainty it will happen. When that is happening, when mountains are collapsing, what do you think will happen to the hearts of people who are alive that day? Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan alaykum kama arsalna ila fir'auna rasula fa asa fir'auna rasula fa akhadnahu akhdan wabila.
O humankind, indeed we have sent you to you a messenger as a witness over you, just as we sent a messenger to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh disobeyed the messenger. Thus suddenly we seized them with an overwhelmingly grip.
So after giving you a glimpse of what's going to happen to the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to the people and warning to them of, at the human level, we have sent you a messenger as a witness over you. He will be a witness against you if you disobey him. He will be a witness in your favor if you obey him. Just like we sent to Fir'aun. He's telling, you know, that implies that the people of Makkah knew about the history of Pharaoh. And they knew that there was a prophet that was sent to him. And they also knew that he was denied. فَأَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ He denied, he disobeyed, he defied Musa alayhi salam. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ So we grabbed him, we grasped him. أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا We seized him with a wabila means a disastrous calamity with serious consequences. So the tyrants of this time, the tyrants of Makkah, the tyrants of today are warned by this, that the great one who was a greater tyrant than you, look at his end, Fir'aun. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us two images, the images of Fir'aun and the image of the hereafter. This is what happened to Fir'aun, this is what will happen to the earth and the mountains. Then he says, فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا السَّمَاءُ مُنْفَطِرٌ بِهِ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَفْعُولًا
How then shall you shield yourselves if you disbelieve in a day, the unthinkable terror of which shall turn children gray? From it the heaven itself shall rend apart, and ever is his promise fulfilled.
So it's a rhetorical question, that if you know all of this is going to happen, how are you going to shield yourself? How are you going to protect? If you continue to deny Allah and all of this, how are you going to protect? Tattaqun, you know, taqa, waqa means to protect. How will you shield yourself from this day? Protect yourself from this day. What kind of a day? Yawma yaj'alul wildana shiba, which is so terrible and so horrific that there will be instant children whose hair are dark like his, and some of the youthful people here, instantly will turn white or gray. You know, when we get stressed, you know, you see people gray, oh, you must be stressed out. The stress of that Yawm al-Qiyamah will be such, instantly the children hair will turn. Allah is giving us a human example. This is how stressful that day will be. How stressful for the universe, that the heavens will be like torn pieces and shreds. Infitar. There is a whole surah called Surah Infitar. Sama'un fatarat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it will be torn apart into pieces. The universe will happen, and this is what people who, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave bashara to this ummah, that these moments will only come to the worst of human beings. In other words, Allah, before He destroys and brings this on, He will take all the believers' souls. So only the most evil people will be left to experience this. And this is about the day when the hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day will ask Adam alayhi salam, enter some of your children who deserve to go to Jahannam, into Jahannam. He'll tell Adam alayhi salam. And there's a narration, Adam alayhi salam will look here and look there. On one side he will look and he will smile. One side he will turn and look, because they're all his children. And he said, enter your children into Jahannam. He said, Ya Allah, how many? Allah will say 999 out of 1,000. Imagine the stress of Adam alayhi salam. That percentage of my children denied Allah, that's why they deserve Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this kana wa'duhu maf'ula. This will happen. All it takes is kun. Be, and it will happen. Whatever Allah wills will certainly be done. In hadhihi tadhkira faman sha'a ittakhadha ila rabbihi sabila.
Indeed, these verses of admonition are revealed as a reminder of that day, so that whoever so wills may take to his Lord
after
and then way to salvation.
Jazakallah. After all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still is Rahman al Rahim. He says, Inna hadhihi tazkira. Indeed, this, the Quran and this surah that has come, is a reminder to you. Still a reminder for who? فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ. Who decides, who chooses to take their road towards Allah. Towards the sabil to Allah. In other words, Allah leaves hope. Reminder, an opening for hope. Chance to turn back in tawbah. Make the right choice. Take the way to Allah, which is safer and easier to travel and to save yourself from the evil consequences. When it says taba, taba, or tauba, taba means to turn back. The word taba is also used for Allah. Okay, Allah subhanahu taba towards his abd. What does taba mean? He's not asking for forgiveness. Taba of Allah means his forgiveness and his mercy. Taba for the abd, for the servant, means to turn to Allah asking for forgiveness and making a sincere effort to reform themselves. That is our tawbah. I turn back to Allah asking for forgiveness for what I have done and promising to do and fix myself. And when Allah turns to me, He turns to me with His forgiveness and with His mercy. So this is the first 19 verses. And up to now, the stress was on Qiyamul Layl, on all of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves it that you can still take a path to Him. And the last verse, which we will do next time, which is the 20th verse, which changes the obligation of fard to, nafil of Qiyamul Layl, which is the 20th verse, which we don't have time today. We will deal with it next time and we'll go on to Surah Noon wal Qalam after that. But in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes that because it's a verse of nasq, means which abrogates the first command. The first command was farida for the Qiyamul Layl, but this verse that will come, and it came after 1 year. Okay. And maybe in question and answers, I want to talk about how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do his Qiyamul Layl. Maybe in question and answer we can talk about that if somebody wants to know. Because ultimately it's about doing it and following him, inshallah. So we will end there and we will open it up for questions and answers for a few minutes, and then we will end the session.